Flyover Politic Podcast, the show for normal Americans. From this undisclosed bunker, here's your host, Tony Reed.
Welcome back to Flyover Politic Podcast. It's the 27th of March, year of our Lord, 2024. What a nice little intro, huh? It's taking over our fucking border. Yeah, that's great. Knocking people down. Good stuff. Good stuff. Good stuff. Today we're going to do the Ronald McDaniel scandal. Ronald McDaniel scandal. That actually rolled out pretty nice. We're going to do some immigration in a bit. We're going to do a Muslim section, a hate section, 2024, and a short section on woke, if we can get to it. I wanted to play a couple samples up front because it's apropos. We're going to play, the next one is what they're doing, 60 Minutes hit on X, because they still think X somehow is going to overthrow the election. They won't be able to steal it. So they did a huge piece on it on 60 Minutes.
After Elon Musk took over in 2022, most of its fact-checkers were fired. Now the site is rife with trash talk and lies. Little would you know that this, said to be footage from Gaza, is really from a video game. Eventually, ex-users added a warning label. In this post, pictures of real babies killed in Israeli strikes are falsely dismissed as dolls.
The toothpaste is out of the tube, and we have to figure out how to deal with the resulting mess.
Daryl West, a senior fellow of technology innovation at the Brookings Institution, says the clash over what is true is fraying our institutions and threatening democracies around the world.
Half of the world is voting this year, and the world could stick with democracy or move towards authoritarianism. The danger is disinformation could decide the elections in a number of different countries.
In the U.S., he says, the right wing has been flooding the internet with reams of misleading information in order to confuse the public. And he's alarmed by the campaign to silence the academic researchers who have had to spend money and time on demands from Jim Jordan's
You know, we didn't have these think pieces and stuff when we were all liberal and you got banned off X for saying biology, you know, simple biology. Sorry about this. I have to get it. This is my new request from the wife. You know, got to get better. Boom arm. Then, of course, we had that horrible crash that it looks like it's going to take out five individuals on the bridge. And this is how everybody covered it.
At about 1:30, container ship struck the Francis Scott Key Bridge, which I've been over many, many times commuting from the state of Delaware in our trainer by car. Been in Baltimore Harbor many times.
Everything he just said is a lie. It's a lie. If we're going to have standards and you're going to say Trump's a big fucking lying, liar face, you have to say everybody is a liar, and he just makes shit up, and they go with it because they just don't fucking care. Biden-Harris campaign will announce a national program today to reach Latino voters. I have a huge segment I'm going to do on the next podcast. It's just about that. And the numbers are vicious. Vicious. We're talking 20, 30 point swings. Because Latinos are done with the woke shit. They're just fucking done. They're not into that crap. Biden stepping up on big tech. They are going to silence you forever. This is Christy Jackson. He's from fucking Tennessee. President Joe Biden has quietly attended Mass in Delaware, according to historic records. President Biden has attended church more while in office than any president in 70 years. Conservatives, though, blah, fucking blah, blah. Please hold. Dum. Suck a dick. Yeah, no. No, that's not a thing. You cannot cheerleader for abortion to be the most amazing president on religion you've ever seen. No. The problem is they're getting this just blown into their face like a freaking swamp cooler. Their base, who voted for them, is now starting to go, I know, they're getting red pill.
With the elections coming up, I thought I would share why I am no longer a Democrat. You know, I have had the ability to vote for people even though I didn't like them. I can honestly say I've never voted against somebody. That's just, to me, the wrong way to look at it. But the thing that got me leaving the Democratic Party was more or less one specific issue. See, I was a two-time bone cancer survivor, still am. That's how I lost my arm. And having health care was extremely important to me. I heard all the talking points of, you know, if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. If you like your plan, you can keep your plan. The average family's going to save $1,500 a year. It's not a tax. All of this stuff made sense to me, how this was being pushed. And then the Democrats were also saying, well, you know, Republicans don't want you to have insurance if you have pre-existing condition. Well, I was a walking pre-existing condition, having cancer twice. My insurance was $185 a month with a $1,000 deductible. That was for a family of five. So I voted for Obama Biden in 2008 based on Obamacare. Now fast forward to 2010, when Obamacare was implemented. Everything that they said was not true. The Supreme Court ruled that it was a tax if you didn't have insurance, that penalty. So that was a lie. Insurance premiums went up instead of down. That was a lie. The insurance policy that I had specifically, that I had going through two bouts of cancer, chemotherapy, amputation, all of this stuff, it was great insurance. The insurance company canceled it because under the new Obamacare guidelines, that policy wasn't good enough. So they no longer offered it. They came up with a new offer and said, this is what your new plan will be, or you can go through the marketplace. And when I looked at them, the cheapest insurance I could find to replace that one was $1,200 a month with a $6,000 deductible. Remember, $185 a month with a $1,000 deductible is now $1,200 a month with a $6,000 deductible. No additional income, So I had to make a choice. Do I keep a roof over my children's head, or do I get health insurance and struggle? And I chose to just keep a roof over my children's head. And then I was penalized every year. I didn't have insurance for 10 years after that. Couldn't afford it. For 10 years, I was penalized every single year because I could no longer afford the insurance that I was required to get through law of Obamacare. I voted for that shit. And it did nothing but hurt me and my family. And I was supposed to be getting chest x-rays, CT scans every 6 months to maintain that I was cancer-free. I wasn't able to do that for nearly 10 years because of Obamacare. So I didn't get to keep the plan I liked. I didn't get to keep the doctor I liked. I was taxed and penalized, which they said it was not. And insurance was through the roof. It literally killed the middle class. And my wife at the time, she worked at a business office coordinator at a hospital. So we knew exactly how the insurance game worked. And it decimated the middle class. That was the first thing. And I noticed on the vote for that it was 100% supported by Democrats. There wasn't a single Republican that voted for it. And when I looked at that, I was like, maybe they knew something that I didn't know. Of course, I guess you would have to read the bill, right? But I digress. That reason right there alone is why I left the Democratic Party. Now, young people, there's something I want you to truly think. Don't vote against somebody. Don't vote against Donald Trump because you're told to hate him. Don't vote against Biden because you think he's a senile old man. Vote on what you think is going to affect you the most. I also looked at whenever Donald Trump got elected, I did get a tax cut. My employer got a tax cut. My employer then gave all 300,000 employees raises and raised the minimum wage to $15 an hour starting out. And I noticed that Nancy Pelosi kept saying, well, it's just crumbs if anybody got anything out of it. No, I got a $3 an hour raise back in 2017. That was not crumbs. And I know other companies started giving other things too. Bonuses, better benefits, better retirement, raises. And I noticed who voted on that. 100% of Republicans. Not a single Democrat. So we had Republicans wanting me to have more of my own money, and the Democrats didn't want me to have more of my money. So I started looking at these policies and how they directly affect me. Now, the thing that you young people that are under 26 years old haven't had to deal with yet, you know how you're struggling right now? Food, gas, utilities, rent, mortgage, formula, diapers, all of this cost that is involved. After you turn 26, you're going to have to get insurance on your own. You haven't had to deal with that yet. Insurance is just crazy since Obamacare was put into place. You think you're struggling now, wait till you have to buy your own insurance. That is reason enough for me to vote for Donald Trump. Not that I like him, is that he's saying he's going to get rid of Obamacare. And how that affected me and my family so negatively over the years, I can't wait for that piece of shit legislation to get killed. There are things that you haven't experienced in life yet that you need to look ahead to. Ask your parents whose insurance that you're on, if you're young, what their insurance went from before Obamacare to after Obamacare. See what they tell you. Because I promise you, that affected your family. The only people that Obamacare benefited were the extremely poor and impoverished. They got everything subsidized. There are people that it helped. I'm not oblivious to that fact. But the majority of Americans got it stuck to them. So these are the policies that I vote for and against. I don't like Donald Trump, but I will vote for him because of the policies that are in place. If I close my eyes and look back 4 years ago of how my life was to currently, and I don't factor in Donald Trump did this, Donald Trump did that, Joe Biden did this, Joe Biden did that. Gas was more affordable, groceries were more affordable, utilities were not crazy like they are, rent, mortgage, all of my aspects of life were better than they are now. Everything's a struggle right now. Vote wisely. I'm not saying vote for Donald Trump. I'm just saying have a reason to vote for who you're voting for. And if you're just voting against somebody, then just please don't vote. Please don't. If you don't have a reason to vote, then just don't vote. Because you're going to mess things up for the rest of us that have had to deal with what we've dealt with for the last 3+ years. You think life is tough now? Wait till you start having to pay for your own Obamacare. Thing is going to get different.
I think a reckoning's about to happen for the left. I mean, they just play fuck goose so much. This kind of shit. 21 crimes. Not officers dead. 21. And they had the balls to get on TV and said recidivism. Well, yeah, if you don't even punish them for anything, of course people are going to say, fuck it. If you get a free goddamn debit card, a free phone, well, I'll go do crime. If I get free money, goddamn. Should I steal? And the government's paying me. I'm going to get slapped on the wrist. I'm not going to go to jail. So why not? Then we get to this tomfoolery. Could play reams of this, but Chuck Todd, Morning Joe, Psaki, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But we're going to start the Ronna McDaniel scandal.
Welcome back. The panel is here. Chuck Todd, NBC News chief political analyst. Kimberly Atkins-Store, senior opinion writer for the Boston Globe. And Stephen Hayes, CEO and editor of The Dispatch. Chuck, let's dive right in. What were your takeaways?
Look, let me deal with the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
I think our bosses owe you an apology for putting you in this situation, because I don't know what to believe. She is now a paid contributor by NBC News. So I have no idea whether any answer she gave to you was because she didn't want to mess up her contract. Mm. She wants us to believe that she was speaking for the RNC when the RNC was paying for it. So she has credibility issues that she still has to deal with.
Yeah.
Is she speaking for herself or is she speaking on behalf of who's paying her? What, once at the RNC, she did say that, hey, I'm speaking for the party. I get that. That's part of the job. So what about here? I will say this. I think your interview did a good job of exposing, I think, many of the contradictions. And look, there's a reason why there's a lot of journalists at NBC News uncomfortable with this, because many of our professional dealings with the RNC over the last 6 years have been met with gaslighting. Mm. Have been met with character assassination. So it is, that's where you begin here. And so when NBC made the decision to give her NBC News' credibility, you got to ask yourself, what does she bring NBC News? And when we make deals like this, and I've been at this company a long time, you're doing it for access. Access to audience. Sometimes it's access to an individual. Mm-hmm. And we can have a journalistic ethics debate about that. I'm willing to have that debate. And if you told me we were hiring her as a technical advisor to the Republican convention, I think that would be certainly defensible. If you told me we're we're talking to her, but let's see how she does in some interviews and maybe vet her with actual journalists inside the network, see if it's a two-way, what she can bring the network. So I do think, unfortunately, this interview is always going to be looked through the prism of who is she speaking for, right? I think you did everything you could do. You got put into an impossible situation booking this interview, and then all of a sudden the rugs pull out from under you. You find out she's being paid to show up. That's unfortunate for this program, but I am glad you did the best that you could, and that's why the three of us are on here to try to bolster that editorial independence.
Well, I appreciate that. Go ahead, Kimberly.
Point about credibility. As a journalist and as a lawyer, I think about credibility all the time. Credibility of sources, credibility of witnesses, and for the reasons that you laid out, and also the timing that she is only here after she got ousted from Trump's RNC. Her credibility is...
There have been attempts to book her as RNC chair in this show for years.
Yes. So her credibility is completely shot. So I have to do what Maya Angelou said. I believe what they do and not what anything that she said today. And in that, I know that she habitually lied. She habitually joined Trump in attacking the press, members of the press, including this network, in a way that put journalists at risk, in danger. And we do know that she carried water for Donald Trump, and we knew that she did participate in efforts to keep votes in Detroit from my hometown. So I take this both journalistically serious and personal, to keep the votes from mostly black voters in Detroit from being counted that night. We know that that's what she did.
Part of that was that phone call that we were talking to her
about. Part of that pressure campaign that Donald Trump now stands accused in the court of law of doing. So that's what I'm believing when it comes to Ronna McDaniel, not anything that she said today, because of those credibility
problems. Stephen, where do you fall on this?
Yeah, I mean, look, on the one hand, if you've read some of the criticism of NBC that has come since the announcement, it is very clear that some of the critics just don't want to be confronted with Republican voices or conservative arguments. So there is that, and that's bad. We want to have a robust exchange between people who believe different things. But I agree with what's been said here. I mean, that's not what Romney McDaniel is doing. That's not what she's been doing. And she has huge credibility problems, not because she's been a partisan spinner on behalf of the Republican Party, but because she not only presided, but directed, drove the QAnonization of the Republican Party during her tenure. And it is the case that when you look at what she did with the fake electors specifically, she wasn't on that phone call because she felt bad about somebody. Donald Trump was on the call.
Right.
He was telling them, she was saying, we'll get you lawyers. Because the entire 6-week period after the November 2020 election was about making the case that the election had been stolen. She did a tremendous disservice to the country by making the argument that led to the erosion of faith. We've got half of the Republicans right now believe the election wasn't fair. And even today, confronted with her past votes, she couldn't give you a straight answer until your fourth or fifth time pressing.
Chuck, final 10 seconds.
Look, it is important for this network and for always to have a wide aperture. Okay, and covering voters that have disparate beliefs, having ideological diversity on this panel is something I prided myself on. You and I both took plenty of grief when you have ideological and political diversity. I think all of us in mainstream media do a terrible job sometimes of geographic diversity and all this stuff. But I sort of call into question, and sometimes people think they understand the politics of this country when they're sort of in a very, very, very blue city. You know, this is a Washington operative who I don't think is going to bring the network what they think it wants to bring to the network. I understand the motivation, but this execution, I think, was poor.
Someone said to me last night, we live in complicated times. Thank you guys for being here. I really appreciate it.
Let's talk about the hiring of former RNC chair Ronna McDaniel.
Well, she was on Sunday's Meet the Press. It was her first appearance since since NBC News hired her as a political analyst. I know you won't be surprised to know that we've been inundated with calls this weekend, as have most people connected with this network, about NBC's decision to hire her. We learned about the hiring when we read about it in the press on Friday. We weren't asked our opinion of the hiring, but if we were, we would have strongly objected to it for several reasons, including, but not limited to, as lawyers might say, Ms. McDaniel's role in Donald Trump's fake elector scheme, and her pressuring election officials to not certify election results while Donald Trump was on the phone.
To be clear, we believe NBC News should seek out conservative Republican voices to provide balance in their election coverage, but it should be conservative Republicans, not a person who used her position of power to be an anti-democracy election denier, and we hope NBC will reconsider its decision. It goes without saying that she will not be a guest on Morning Joe in her capacity as a paid contributor.
She really summed up the sickness in the Republican Party when asked by Kristen Welker, why did you go along with the whitewashing of political violence? Why didn't you speak out against those who tried to overturn American democracy, those who beat the hell out of cops, those who rioted at the United States Capitol at the instruction of Donald Trump, at the guidance of Donald Trump, the inspiration of Donald Trump? Why not? She said, sometimes you have to take one for the team.
Taking one for the team is the problem, because the team is not as important as the rule of law, the Constitution.
The team, I guess it's how we define the team. For me, the team, right, it's a pyramid. It's God, country, mm-hmm, Constitution. For me, conservatism. For others, it's being progressive. It's liberalism. And that's how it goes. Politicians and parties, for me, have always been at the bottom of that list. And for some reason, it's been inverted. So instead of God, country, Constitution, conservatism, and then politicians and party, it's been inverted. And now it is Donald Trump.
Personality.
It's Donald, yeah, Trump. And everything flows from that. So when, I guess I shouldn't, when I hear that, I again, it's very clarifying. I guess I shouldn't be staying up trying to figure out what happened to them. This is what happened to them. They completely, their value system flipped, and Donald Trump's on top. And everything that's done goes through that filter, and everything is justified. Mm-hmm. Everything he does is justified. Political violence is justified. His lifestyle is justified. His hatred is justified. His racism is justified. All the things my friends would have spoken out about when I was growing up, when Bill Clinton was president, when they were so shocked and stunned and deeply saddened by Bill Clinton. Now, the pyramid is flipped.
I believe, and I never thought I would say this, I think there is a moral duty, if the choice is between Donald Trump and President Biden, mm-hmm, to vote for President Biden, despite any policy disagreements you might have, because whatever else you want to say about President Biden, he believes in the Constitution.
It's not about not wanting conservatives on the air. I'm conservative, and check my record, I'm probably more conservative. I'm a lot more conservative than so many people that criticize me from the Trump right. But I was in politics. I'm here. John, you help the president from time to time in speeches. Mm-hmm. You're here. We've had other people on that are involved. Jen Psaki is, of course. Nicole Wallace is, worked for George W. Bush, and
they bring
McCain,
value to the table.
And they bring value to the table.
You may have seen some news over the last few days about the hiring of former RNC chair Ronna McDaniel as an NBC News contributor. And some, mainly in the right-wing ecosystem, have made the comparison to others who have come from government or politics into the media, including me. And that is a comparison I felt like I had to address. I got into public service for the same reason that many people do, to serve the American people. I worked on my first political campaign when I was just 24 years old. When I was 28, I packed my bags, I moved to Chicago to work for Barack Obama. He wanted to make the country a better place, and I wanted to help him. I wanted to work on behalf of the American people, to try to make their lives better. That's why I did campaigns. And a few years later, I would do the same thing for President Biden when I went to work for him in the White House. I was in the room for tough debates, for difficult decisions, for the messy and at times incredibly grueling process of governing. And that experience is something that I'm extremely proud to bring to this table and to this network. And there are many others who have followed a similar path, who I have a great deal of respect for. But here's the thing, that kind of experience only matters and only has value to viewers, all of you, if it is paired with honesty and with good faith. Those qualities are especially important right now, at a time when our institutions are under attack and when our democracy is in danger. And our democracy is in danger because of the lies that people like Ronna McDaniel have pushed on this country. To quote Liz Cheney, Ronna facilitated Trump's corrupt fake elector plot and his effort to pressure Michigan officials not to certify the legitimate election outcome. She spread his lies and called January 6th legitimate political discourse. Look, this isn't about Republicans versus Democrats. This isn't about red versus blue. This is about truth versus lies. Service to the country versus service to one man committed to toppling our democratic system. That is the type of experience that Ronna McDaniel brings to the table. And that experience does not get us to a deeper understanding of anything in the public.
The times in which we do this, when we meet, you and us here at the table, are, I don't have to tell you this, dire. The show has dedicated itself to a jarring pursuit of the uncomfortable truths about our politics and our political leaders and our justice system and, yes, the media. Today, this network is part of that story. On Friday, NBC News announced it had hired Ronna McDaniel as a paid contributor. By Saturday night, it was reported in the Wall Street Journal that MSNBC President Rashida Jones had separated this network from that decision, indicating that Ronna McDaniel would not appear on our air. We're going to cover this story as part of our ongoing series of conversations about American autocracy, asking the question, or positing the theory, that it could happen here. I'm going to read to you an excerpt from Timothy Snyder's On Tyranny. Most of the power of authoritarianism is freely given. In times like these, individuals think ahead about what a more repressive government will want and then offer themselves without being asked. A citizen who adapts in this way is teaching power what it can do, end quote. In this instance, NBC News, either wittingly or unwittingly, is teaching election deniers that what they can do stretches well beyond appearing on our air in interviews to peddle lies about the sanctity and integrity of our elections. What we've also said to election deniers is not just they can do that on our airwaves, but that they can do that as one of us, as badge-carrying employees of NBC News, as paid contributors to our sacred airwaves. One of my colleagues sent me a screenshot of that first page, and it gave me chills, and I thought if I have an opportunity, and I have to say, nobody at this company stopped me from having this conversation with you, and I'm grateful for that, that this was the part of the story that I found most haunting, that what you write is that authoritarianism doesn't come in and take things, but what they do is they learn and they operate in the spaces that they're given.
The viewers deserve the conversation because the viewers want a seat at the table and they want to be heard. You know, in many ways, this is a conversation about the role of media, about decisions of news enterprises. But the viewers of this platform in particular, for at least 8 years.
So, yeah, that's them, all right. It's just Molly Hemingway. Chuck Todd, a dangerous propagandist, has pushed the Russian collusion lie for years, trashed his employers, and wants about gaslighting and credibility because NBC employs Wallace. Psaki was in her position in the White House, negotiated a deal, went out and became a show host. Simone Sanders. Morning Joe was a senator. Every fucking person, Donna Brazil, Michael Steele's on MSNBC. He was the RNC chairman. But it's about credibility. It's about journalistic integrity. It's about Trump. We're not idiots. She, at one time, pulled water for Trump, and you guys don't like it. They are fucking embarrassing. That's fucking embarrassing. And it comes right down to Todd. The issue isn't about ideology, it's about basic truth. Those trying to make me a left-right issue are losing intentionally dishonest. It's about whether honest journalists are supposed to lend their credibility to someone who intentionally tried to ruin ours. And he always does that. He always does the holier-than-thou bullshit. Glenn Greenwald, the whole country hates you and thinks you're liars. Trust the news collapses. It's so low, it's not even funny. Tom Elliott, Fauci interviews. I mean, people show all the stuff they did, a Russian collusion. Joe Concha, it's really a simple question. Was Jen Psaki negotiating with the NBC News while still White House press secretary and taking questions from reporters of our future employer? She failed to circle back to that rather important tidbit. She was hired while still working in the admin. Snuffleupagus. Seriously, I could go on. Tapper. Chuck Todd himself was a damn staffer. Then he went into journalism. You can't get away from him. So in our journalistic creed, I'm going to play a condensed soundbite of them spiking the ball because they won. And then we're just going to go into general bullshitty da. ABC battle about the border with KGP. She lies consistently. What are these? Let me make sure I got this right. Hold on a second. Donald Trump is a garbage human. And Dramatic Nets bemoan dramatic border attack. And then the prepper for our next section. Squatters in blue cities, they can take over your fucking house and there's nothing you can do.
I want to turn now to an update from NBC News. NBC News leadership has announced that former RNC chair Ronna McDaniel will not be an NBC News contributor. We have a new email and update that's come out just within this hour. So this is sort of breaking news here within our organization on a story that has garnered significant attention and criticism. And what I'm going to do now, to be very clear, is read the entire update from NBC Universal News Group Chairman Cesar Conde. He has written in this new email, quote, "There's no doubt that the last several days have been difficult for the news group. After listening to the legitimate concerns of many of you, I have decided that Ronna McDaniel will not be an NBC News contributor." He goes on to write that no organization, particularly a newsroom, can succeed unless it is cohesive and aligned. Over the last few days, it has become clear that disappointment undermines that goal. The news chairman continues to say, quote, "I want to personally apologize to our team members who felt we let them down. While this was a collective recommendation by some members of our leadership team, I approved it and take full responsibility for it," says Cesar Conde, the chairman. He explains, quote, "Our initial decision was made because of our deep commitment to presenting our audiences with a widely diverse set of viewpoints and experiences, particularly during these consequential times." And then, in closing, this message, which, again, is brand new, we're airing it for the first time here on MSNBC, having come out this hour, quote, "We continue to be committed to the principle that we must have diverse viewpoints on our programs, and to that end, we will redouble our efforts to seek voices that represent different parts of the political spectrum," end quote. If you watch MSNBC, as you probably do if you're listening to me right now, or you follow news media and politics, this has been a roiling debate since that initial announcement was made on Friday. Many people have weighed in, and now the news chairman says, in response to the legitimate criticism, including on this channel, Ms. McDaniel will not be a...
Has the president seen that dramatic video of migrants surging past National Guardsmen in Texas and in El Paso?
I mean, look, I have not spoken to the president about that video. What I can say is this. You know, I really, truly believe that's a question for, the Republican governor of Texas.
But Are you saying that Americans should just expect that there will continue to be a standoff between the National Guardsmen and the border agents? It sounds like right now the White House and the President, the administration is not considering anything else to stop future events like that. Right now the blame is the Texas governor and Congress.
You have a governor who has politicized this issue.
The governor, Ron DeSantis, said that he's also looking at implementing a law like Texas that would allow Florida to arrest migrants as soon as they cross the Florida border. Are you concerned that other governors will be looking into kind of stricter immigration laws like this?
I'm concerned about the politics that's being played here.
On this border video, what does President Biden think should happen to adult men who are assaulting and overpowering U.S. National Guardsmen?
Well, let me just first say we're grateful, and I said this moments ago, to Border Patrol agents.
But I get that you guys, you talk so much about having a more humane immigration system. This video does not show helpless women and children begging for a safe place to come in. It shows adult men landing haymakers on U.S. troops in uniform. If that was happening anywhere else in the world, wouldn't President Biden send reinforcements?
So two things. Everyone was apprehended by the Border Patrol agents. That is important to know. They were apprehended.
Were they deported?
They were apprehended.
There is a Venezuelan migrant with 500,000 followers on TikTok who is telling border crossers they can live in empty.
We're going to turn now to some dramatic video from the southern border, likely to add fuel to the political showdown over immigration and border security. The footage you're about to see, taken by a New York Post journalist, shows what appears to be a group of migrants pulling a section of razor wire fencing aside and then pushing past members of the Texas National Guard.
These images clearly illustrate the humanitarian crisis along the U.S.-Mexico border that, by every measure, is unprecedented in nature. We also have to underscore, Tony, that the Texas National Guard is setting up razor wire and barriers to not only deter migrants from crossing the Rio Grande illegally, but to block them from accessing federal Border Patrol agents, which are legally required to process and vet migrants who are physically on American soil, and also to refer them to asylum judges and immigration asylum officers. These migrants were already on American soil. They had to be processed, Tony, under federal law. Bottom line, Tony, is that these images clearly show that there's a tragic combination of a broken system and desperation at the border.
Now to the border and the dramatic video showing a group of migrants breaching a barbed wire fence, overwhelming Texas National Guard troops.
The barrier is on public land and is in addition to the federal government's border wall a short distance away. Some guard members appear to push and strike a number of migrants coming through, but other guardsmen seen in the video don't immediately rush to help. But the incident shown from another angle tells a different story, appearing to show National Guard troops apprehending a handful of migrants.
Also this morning, a chaotic scene in El Paso, Texas, is intensifying the battle over border security.
In the hours since that chaotic scene, U.S. Customs and Border Patrol
said, out of that nightmare for a family who can't move into their new home. As we told you last week, that family paid $2 million for their house in Queens, but they can't get in because a squatter is living there and he is refusing to leave. And in fact, tonight, that squatter is somehow claiming he too is a victim. How does that happen? Investigative reporter Dan Krauth digging deeper into the squatter abyss. Dan?
Yeah, Bill, when I first reported on the story last week, the accused squatter wouldn't talk to us on camera. We caught up with him and his attorney outside the courthouse.
We want to talk to your client. It's his face and his name that's out there.
That's all we're going to say for now.
He's the man accused of squatting in a family's $2 million waterfront home in Queens. The Landa family bought it back in October and haven't been able to move in.
Nothing you want to say, Brett?
Nope. My client's not going to say it.
Brett Flores isn't talking, directing all of our questions to his attorney.
I can't give you the whole story.
Flores used to work for the former homeowner as a caretaker, was paid $3,000 a week until the owner died in January of last year. The house then went on the market, and the Landas bought it.
No agreement, no lease, nothing. He is just technically an ex-employee. He worked for the guy that passed away, and that's it.
The Landas say they had no idea the problem they were inheriting.
So you go figure. My house, my keys, we paid for it.
The Landas are suing Flores in court, trying to get him evicted. Meanwhile, he's suing them for harassment. Flores claims he has audio recordings that will help tell his side of the story. Recordings he hasn't released to us or to the court and won't say what's on them. It's why they were in court this week.
That was adjourned today.
Adjourned because the judge gave him one more week to produce the evidence.
The revelation will turn this narrative on its head. The homeowner, the Landaus, are not victims in this case.
He gave no proof as to why.
But it was listed for $2.6 million, and they bought it for $2 million.
Regardless of what they paid for the house, they have the deed to it. Why is your client still inside their home?
Because I'm suggesting there's a connection and story behind the reduction in sale price. And we'll give a more detailed response in a later date.
We paid exactly what the bank had asked for. So we didn't get a bargain. It was true to the money, to the number, and the condition of the house.
Court records show Brett was arrested for assault and harassment in an unrelated case at that home in question back in December. He's accused of pushing his wife, picking...
So that recording was why I started this subject. Basically, in New York, you can squat and take over somebody's house. So I started going down the drain because it was on a YouTube channel and they showed this Venezuelan dude. And he, for the love of God, was telling other things, other migrants, hey, you can move in. Just move the fuck in. Take it over. Americans are stupid. It's a no-brainer. Why not? So I went to his page. I'm so glad I did this because it's gone. It got wiped off TikTok.
America. America, wake up, my sleeping beauty. So beautiful as you lie there as a princess who rests in peace.
Yep. Here is some of his stuff.
Bueno, mi gente, hoy andamos super activos, tú sabes, con la primera dama que está hermosa, bella, divina. Si me entiende. Divina en su van, ¿cierto, mi amor?
Where does he get that car?
Mi gente, aquí me encuentro con la primera dama que está buscando la pinta del fin de semana.
What do you think this is about?
Ya que tenemos un compromiso.
Pero go in, put your shoes in the box, take the other shoes, walk out.
Bueno, mi gente, coronamos temprano en la mañana. Una ninza. Como ustedes ven, está podrida aquí, es una camioneta muy económica. La estoy vendiendo, muchachos.
How did he get that?
Que me dé 2000.
There's another one.
He pensado invadir una casa en United States. Ya que me enteré que existe una ley que dice que si una
He's
casa
a good guy. Here's another one.
He pensado invadir una casa
This
en
is the
United
one.
States. Ya que me enteré que existe una ley que dice que si una casa no está habitada, podemos expropiarla. Capichi, muchachos, aquí en United States también se aplica la de invasión de terreno. Y creo que ese será mi próximo negocio. Invadir casas abandonadas. Ya que me he buscado unos códigos con mis amigos africanos y me dijeron que ya llevan como 7 casas expropiadas. Y como dice el dicho, papi, hay que buscar la vuelta. Y la vuelta ahorita mismo es invadir casas. Ya que nos encontramos en situación de calle y es la única manera que tenemos para no vivir en la calle y no...
Okay, so since it's straight Spanish, I thought it was dubbed, and I forgot people are listening, so you probably didn't hear a fucking thing. Basically, what he was saying is that I've heard of this law, and in this law, you can just go into people's houses, and they're yours. They can't stop you, so just go in the fucking houses, and take it. In the report, as you heard, you have to fucking give them an eviction notice. Even though they don't belong there, you have to have an eviction notice. Migrants who overpower National Guard will be allowed to stay in the U.S. Nobody fucking cares. They've increased patrols due to this breakdown, but there's another one showing them breaking through the wire, the next day, and nobody fucking cares. Nobody cares. When there's an ISIS-K attack, the AP, Russian massacre suspects, homeland is plagued by poverty and religious strife. They excuse the action of terrorists again, and a lot of people just were tweeting this, which I 100% agree with. It's this all over again. Remember that guy? Yeah, we were all in that. We were all in that. We thought that was cool. So the media, especially MSNBC, anti-Muslim racism for Biden's nominee, who is a garbage human. And it goes in with the simple fact that every time stuff happens in the world, the left is always on the wrong side.
Hayes, I want to play Senator Cory Booker last night or this morning, however you'd like to parse it. The Biden administration has confirmed a record number of judges with diverse backgrounds and a number of firsts. And one of the firsts, Adil Manghi, who would have been the first Muslim American on a federal appeals, on this particular federal appeals court, his nomination was in peril due to a number of attacks. And this is Senator Booker in defense of him, but I would also argue celebration.
No matter what happens to his nomination, this is a great American who should be proud of his work. We should celebrate him whether we vote for him or not. We should cherish a moment like this that makes history.
Hayes, I have to wonder if the nomination of, if this particular nominee would be in danger if it were not an election year and there were not so many things happening across the pond, if you will, particularly in the Middle East, when it comes to the war between Israel and Hamas, and if politics is fueling a lot of the vitriol and misinformation against this nominee.
I mean, absolutely. Well, quickly, I just want to say that love when Cory Booker gets on at the pulpit. I love when he is on a mission to try to convince his colleagues about what right is. He does it amazingly. But yeah, this is a matter of politics. The fact that there are any Democrats who are unwilling to support this nominee is about being afraid, really, afraid of the sort of backlash that, oh, you supported this candidate for XYZ, when none of the rumors and vitriol that are being spread are actually true. It's really just a matter of racism against a Muslim candidate that we are seeing, and that is something that Senator Booker is standing up against, and I think that all Democrats in the Senate should be willing to stand up against.
And it was, we should note it is two Democrats,
right.
Catherine Cortez Masto of Nevada and West Virginia's Senate.
Not everything is a full-fledged fucking conspiracy against Muslims. This is one against Israel, though, and we abstained. The United States, for the first time in its history, did not protect Israel. The Biden administration chose to abstain so that they could win Michigan. That's exactly what they did. Nobody cares. The news is not going crazy about it. It's the first time we've ever done it. That's how pathetic Biden's admin is. They're always wrong. They're always on the wrong side of everything. It's like they just can't figure out that, man, some demographics hate America and we shouldn't coddle to them. But him? Not him. He's all down with these guys. This is from the New York Times. Chasing clicks. They're all pissed off that conservative journalists are out there doing stuff and making them look bad. It's a whole article that you shouldn't do that. It does sound surprising. Here is Carville talking about murdering Trump with Anderson Cooper.
President Biden condemned former President Trump's rhetoric about migrants at an event in Arizona yesterday. I just want to play part of that.
This is a guy who, who's the way he talks about the Latino community is, well,
In 2016, he called Latinos criminal, drug dealers, and rapists when he came down that escalator. Now he says immigrants are poisoning the blood of our country. What the hell is he talking about?
You are a proponent of the president and his, all his spokespeople in the campaign doing that more and more.
Yeah, it, not so much him. I mean, be candid, Anderson. President Biden is not the best attack politician I've ever seen in my life, and I'll leave it at that. But there are a lot of people to do what I call, quote, the wet work, unquote. And I think he needs to stay sort of a... Well, it's kind of... But it's a paid TV and stuff like that. But yes, a CIA term.
Uh-huh.
You take a guy out. But he doesn't need to do the wet work. People like me and other groups in the party need to do that. He's not very good at it. I don't think people want to hear from that. And he can you know, cruise along here at a better altitude. But this is...
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. What's the problem? What's the problem, man? What's the problem? So the left got smacked in the dick this weekend, and we have this. The Hill showing that it's a tie. This right here, that does not look good. 52-48, 52-48, 52-48, 52-48, 51-49, Michigan. .3, 49.7. All of them. He won. And that was the Hill who did the survey. So, of course, right off the bat, CNN and MSDNC, Kerry Waters saying, oh, those polls don't mean anything.
Yeah, and let's just dig into some of the issues that could turn this race looking ahead in these two states. First of all, on abortion and democracy, these are the two issues where Biden has an advantage, the only two issues where Biden has an advantage in both states. Then you look at other issues, U.S. and world affairs, economy, immigration, Israel, Gaza. Trump has an advantage. And it's actually, if you look at the Israel-Gaza question, the fact that Trump has a 20-point advantage in Michigan, I mean, the world is upside down.
But I think that finding probably explains a lot of Joe Biden's troubles in Michigan right now as well. I mean, it's obviously an issue that we saw in the primary where the uncommitted vote against him. We see young voters, independents, people who have been affiliated with this calling for a ceasefire movement, very frustrated with the president and his policies. And so that's clearly partly at play here in Michigan.
Yeah, no question. But it's hard to imagine that Donald Trump will be any more sympathetic to what's going on in Gaza than Joe Biden is, which is what is so surprising.
Has nothing to do with their actual policy positions, right?
Exactly. Necessarily.
What a nightmare. And I'm dead serious here. What a nightmare it has to be being a part of Donald Trump's campaign, being grossly underfunded, and knowing that Trump has put his family in charge of the RNC, or being a Republican candidate down ballot. I've been one of those before, where you're just praying that the RNC can help you out. And knowing all of that money is going for a guy who's just completely beyond cash strapped. I mean, for a lot of legitimate reasons. And again, we said this yesterday, there are a lot of billionaires that would not have $500 million lying around. But they really are. He has all along. But they're really leveraging his campaign for his personal use. And these are the sort of things that may not show up in stupid polls in March. This is the stuff that as you make that final turn after Labor Day, this is when things start falling. I thought, and I'm not saying this is going to happen, but I thought Stuart Stevens had a pretty good insight. He said, everybody's talking about how this race looks right now. He said to Stuart, and he knows a thing or two about campaigns, he says it's looking like 1980 in reverse. Where, you know, Jimmy Carter, Ronald Reagan, all year too close to call.
Yeah.
And things just flipped near the end. And that's what Stewart says. And if you look how things are lining up, we don't know what's going to happen over the next 6 months. But man, is if you look at any of the fundamentals about politics, this looks like Stewart may be onto something. And Alex told me they got Stewart's bite here. Play Stewart real quick and we'll talk about it.
My image of the Trump campaign is somebody walking around with a paper bag full of water. I don't think it's going to leak, but I think when this thing goes, it's going to go quickly. And I think there's a good chance that we're going to have a situation like 1980 in reverse, where Carter was tight with Reagan until the middle of October, and then kind of the bottom fell out for Carter.
But I think that we don't talk enough about Trump's weaknesses, and the fundamentals of his campaign are very weak. You know, it's like, he doesn't have any money. He has 91 counts against him, 4 indictments, trials that he's like trying to balance, and he can't raise any money. He's got to raise $500 million by Monday. And then I think that we need to brace for the, I bet you'll agree with this, like the polls might not change in Biden's favor until the fall.
Right.
That's just when people are going to start to pay attention.
And just so people understand, we went into the final weekend. I'm old enough to remember this. I know Donnie is. Final weekend. There was, I think, you know, Time magazine. It came out back when we had magazines.
Yeah.
When we were younger people and had magazines to read. And on Friday before the Tuesday election in 1980, nobody knew if Jimmy Carter was going to win or Ronald Reagan's going to win. And then just a collapse over the weekend. And you look at the fundamentals. You look at the fundamentals. You look at the economy. And we're going to show an ad. Are you better off than you were 4 years ago?
Oh,
damn
boy.
Straight you are, unless you're Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Like, the fundamentals in every way, the money, the economy, you name it. This week we find out Jay Powell's doing 3 interest rate cuts. And by the way, you know, people are like, you know, if anybody's out there going, oh, he's whistling past the graveyard. No, I'm not. I'm just telling you.
They are so frantic decoding Trump's authoritarian tendencies. We're doing this again.
Understood?
I think he understood exactly.
You think he understood? I mean, are you, based on your own reporting, do you feel that we're talking about a true authoritarian?
I mean, look, he is campaigning right now on the idea that literally the president of the United States is above the law. He is talking about undermining the Constitution, suspending certain provisions of the Constitution if necessary. I think it's not necessarily in the pursuit of any grander ideology or any policy proposal. It's in pursuit of his own elevation and his exalting himself, proving that he never lost. But I think he's got all of those authoritarian tendencies.
So Nicole.
It's going to pay a soundbite, but I'm not going to because we're soundbite heavy. But we're going to have Green Berets on Taiwan. And folks, this is bad. I just want you to remember under Trump what the world was like. And now under Biden, what is it like? Fast food workers are all getting laid off because we went to $20 an hour. Trump's going to steal the 2024 election. The people that are stealing it. Yeah. There you let it. These two winners took over New York squatter and they beat the lady who came back to her house to death. Here's Biden's housing. Affordable housing is the worst it's been in a decade. The typical salary required nationwide for homeownership is up to $106,500, a 61% increase from 4 years ago when it was $59,000. That's not good, folks. That's bad. Fangirls Biden, TikTok tactic unvarnished, relatable, and genuine. They go through a whole thing pushing his TikTok prowess. And it goes a little something like the...
Despite the ongoing scrutiny around TikTok, including legislation that could ban the app if it fails to separate from its Chinese parent company, the Biden campaign is cranking out viral content.
Trump or Biden?
Are you kidding? Biden.
Since their TikTok launch on Super Bowl Sunday, the campaign has been leaning in.
Look over here. Look at that.
Capitalizing on pop culture moments and filming with regular people are all part of the strategy. Unvarnished, relatable, and genuine.
The president came to my house to have dinner.
I think the best part about it is that they're literally thinking that's going to save them. They think that's going to save them. And I just don't think they understand that it's not going to save them. And MSNBC, they're a last one that we're going into woke. Mother fricker, please, you guys are crazy.
And I honestly, this is so infuriating, I don't even know what to do. I don't even know if I care what the process is that these judges are arriving at. Whatever it is, it's flawed. I can tell you that much. I mean, David put it well. This is a different process for this person. We have decided that he gets his own private court of justice. He has a private plane. He has private clubs that he lives in. You know, apparently, you know, he basically fashioned himself his own private militia to try to take over the Capitol. You know, now he's getting his own private system of justice. This is an absolute travesty. It would not happen for anybody else. Anybody else, it would be like, sorry, buddy, you lost. Pay up. For him, he gets his own set of rules.
Legally, Tristan, how is that done?
We just saw it. They just decided that the appellate court has now just decided they're going to swoop in and just change it. And that's it. And now the AG's office can now try to go up above them. I believe, you know, I don't know what the details are because you just told us. I'm guessing this is coming from the First Department, Appellate Division First Department. That's the intermediate court here in New York. That would be issuing a decision here. I don't know if there's a remedy for the AG's office to go up to the Court of Appeals, which is our high court here in New York, and try to get them to basically countermand this order. But in my view, this is, without knowing more, unless there's some sort of other extenuating circumstance that we're going to learn here, this appears to be an absolute gross miscarriage of justice.
So let's
turn it up.
Whether Joe Biden believes this madness or is simply too weak to resist it, his administration has been completely hijacked by the radical left. The dividing line in America is no longer between right or left. The choice is between normal or crazy.
And the police officers are standing by like puppets.
Shame on you!
Puppets!
Even Jack.
Fake.
Yeah.
Who wants to leave?
Not Jack.
You're protecting a terrible man. Too. I hope you know that. You're protecting a terrible man.
And a coward, too.
And a coward, an absolute coward, who is aiding and abetting a actual genocide.
32,000 people.
30,000 people are being killed, sir.
That's what you're protecting.
Show your compassion. Show your morality.
What if it was your kids?
Would you care?
It will be your kids. It will be our kids.
You and your kids gonna protect you.
Is a job worth it, sir? Is a job worth it?
And your black sword? We're already dealing with this. You can stand
32,000 dead, and you don't care.
You could stand with us right now and be on the right side of history.
But you won't.
Shame on you. Shame on you.
Shame. You are black in America, and you're not standing with the marginalized people of the world. What does that make you? What does that make you? A coward.
Coward!
Shame!
Free Palestine!
Free Palestine!
Free Palestine!
Free Palestine!
I say dictator.
Yeah, that's nice. That's Vanderbilt. Yeah, they're doing that thing again where they all start attacking shit and saying, you shouldn't have this. This vehicle should be illegal. I'm 5'9". You should fuck all the way off. Just all. Completely. Don't stop early. Keep fucking off. This is pretty scary. They put some videos on YouTube to see if people would watch it. Now they want to follow everybody who did watch it. It's a specific genre, but that's some creepy-ass shit that the government's doing this. I just want to bring that up. Uh-huh. Up the front, no faking, cooking MCs like a pound of bacon. That's fucked up. This administration is doing a lot of fucked up personal liberty stuff. Scary. Here is something else that's scary. This guy controlled a mouse with his melon. I don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing. I'm just saying. So, I'm going to do the thing we did last time. There's so many videos
today. Different people back.
I want to backtrack this one. This came from a... yeah, I TikTok that shit. I derailed. This came from a show I watched, and it's the Man Channel or Man something, and there's a bunch of Alpha Central, just basically woman-hating shows. But as I've been going through all this personal morals I'm seeing in the world that are justifying so many goddamn horrible things, I see this girl, I see a really pretty girl next door, but she's going to say this.
Slept with different people back to back without them knowing?
Oh, 1,000%.
1,000%, not 100.
No, it's like 1,000%. It can be a routine sometimes.
Oh, it's like a go-to move?
It's like a boop, boop, boop.
Women don't realize this is an extremely unattractive trait from a man looking...
A lot of young dudes doing this kind of stuff. Here's the deal from a 56-year-old who gets mistaken for 40 in the gym. You're never getting married. Men like women like that to fuck, to hit and quit. They don't want to marry them. Secondly, and more importantly, it's not about slut shaming. It's about personal autonomy. If you're banging the world unprotected, which you probably is, because let's be honest, raise your hand if you actually use a rubber. I never did. First thing I asked my wife to be when we were getting hot and heavy is, are you on birth control? Yeah. And I knew she wasn't a slut. She hadn't had sex for months. So she was clean. I didn't know her body count. But I just knew she hadn't been with somebody for months because she told me. Because this is right during the AIDS, man. We met in 86. That's when we first were DTF with each other. There are so many communicable diseases now. I mean, chlamydia is fucking atrocious in young women. We had a whole bunch of women get kicked the fuck out for that in basic, 93. One of them looked like Pippi Longstocking. By the end of the cycle, she was selling blowjobs for $20 in the bathroom. I swear to God, we caught it. I was so disappointed. I thought the girl was so cute. Reminded me of my daughter who was young. I just like, you're slut. Yeah. Then we had this, and we're going to play this because, well, let me do the woke stuff first. Okay, that's all. Trans. Here's Biden, Mrs. Biden. Let's do this.
History teaches us that democracies don't disappear overnight. They disappear slowly, subtly, silently. A book ban, a court decision, a don't say gay law.
Which
before World War II, I'm told, Berlin was the center of LGBTQ culture in Europe. One group of people loses their rights, and then another, until one morning you wake up and you no longer live in a democracy.
Here's the most important thing about this. Why the fuck is she giving a presidential fucking speech and doing policy when most wives don't? Secondly, it's not a don't say gay bill. Thirdly, LGBTQIAs, go to YouTube and search it. There's as many gay people as conservative people going, this stuff is out of fucking control, because the reality is, and I forgot, I got this article last second, so I fucked up and didn't put it in there. French, The Telegraph. Sex reassignment in minors may be the medical history's greatest ethical scandal. French report said. An issue by the central-rightless Republican Senator Jacques Barrano just made public. Is alarmed by what has been described as one of the greatest ethical standards in the history of medicine, namely sex reassignments in minors made possible by administration of puberty blockers and surgery. Report, which is detailed, well-argued, point to a number of abuses by health professionals indoctrinated by trans-affirmative ideology and subject to the influence of experienced trans officers. And we already know all this because this is 101. Everybody with a brain, this is now the second country. England's the other one that said, hey, this shit ain't good. We're doing bad
History
things to kids.
Teaches us that
we're just doing really bad things to kids. And everything is crazy now. This is eco-sexuality. Here is a Channel 4 clip about eco-sexuality. This is a new sexual orientation for people who find nature sexy, treat nature as a sensual partner, and include having sex with trees. Sweet Jesus!
Kind of, I'd say more eco-sexual.
What is more eco-sexual?
Who finds nature sexy? Huh.
This is a growing movement that treats nature as a sensual partner, and over 100,000 people now identify as eco-sexual worldwide. How a person expresses their eco-sexuality ranges widely, from ceremonies where you can marry Mother Nature to sex with trees. And even masturbating under waterfalls.
Yeah, they said that.
Post this or not, but I just need a fucking rant. Universal Labor Support just fucking called me. And the first thing they fucking did is fucking dead name me. Love that. We're off to a really fucking good start. They ask if I'm available for a fucking shift. In 9 fucking weeks, they have not fucking scheduled me. First of all, mostly everyone who calls from labor support knows me as fucking Max, not fucking dead name. Getting off to a really fucking good start right there, aren't we? Second, pretty much everyone I talk to knows about my fucking situation. They know that I'm homeless. It's not like I have a bed I can fucking crawl up in and take a nice fucking goddamn nap. I don't have a fucking accessible shower. I don't have anywhere to keep my fucking dog.
Why is it my fault? What is our fault? Jesus Christ, I have floated checks to feed my kid on pizza. I didn't go online and go, motherfucker, free shit.
Trying to fucking schedule me on Sunday. No fucking notice. Nobody calls me and says, hey, yo, we want to schedule you now.
Here's another one.
About you telling me to use the men's bathroom. How would... I'm a girl. I'm a trans woman. How would it be if, you know, a woman actually went into the men's bathroom? How would it be? How would it be? Are you going to answer?
They're fucking bullies. Here's another one. Shooting up online for kids.
I just wanted to say that hormone replacement therapy is... for anybody who wants to take it. Physically transitioning is a really personal choice. Non-binary people and binary people both can take hormone replacement therapy and be completely valid in their gender identity. And if you don't physically transition, that doesn't make your gender identity less valid. I have gone back and forth. I started testosterone 10 years ago. Then I was off it for another 4. But now I'm 6 weeks back on and it feels awesome. I feel so good. Oh my God. And I have found that I really love being on testosterone. And I really wish that there were more people when I was starting T that I knew that were non-binary. I wish that when I started T, I would have known about all of the options that were available to me. And it makes me really sad that people are really set on taking away options from people rather than...
Once again, I picked up my wife's estrogen for fucking 5 years. And for 5 years, I got lectures about it would ruin me as a grown man who's already through puberty. It would fuck me up. And now they don't say that shit anymore because they got bullied by these fucking people. This is a child-friendly fair. Pride is not for kids. What the fuck is that? Make me come again. Jesus Christ, it's SpongeBob. Here's another
one. I identify as trans and genderqueer, and to me that means I like to play with gender, I like to problematize gender.
Yeah.
I like to confront gender norms in how I present and how I move through the world. I feel female and male. I feel both and neither one. And so many of the labels that we use in this area feel equally authentic and inauthentic. And I simply can't tell when one gender ends and another begins. Medical interventions allow some of us to change our primary
clinician
and secondary sex characteristics. We have phalloplasty that creates a penis and a scrotum and testicles. We have vaginoplasty that creates a vagina and a vulva. We have chest masculinization and breast augmentation, all of which create bodies that are readable to outsiders, but it's clear that cisgender bodies are still the reference point. But will technology give us options that are artistic and creative? Artificial limbs even now can transmit rudimentary sensory data back to the wearer. And it seems to me that a fully functional, artificial, sensate penis is maybe not that far off. But do we have to stick to penis and vagina norms? Can we have genitalia that look like flowers or abstract sculpture? Can we have multi?
What's their pronoun? Flower queer? What the fuck?
Can they be interchangeable? And what about other areas of the body?
This motherfucker is a serious clinician for WPATH, and that's what he's talking about. This shit right here is money. This is fucking money, man. This shit made me fucking smile like a motherfucker. Faux schma. It looks like a young kid. I remain absolutely convinced that the backlash from this will be extreme. Look for young people to embrace natural, organic, and perhaps even traditional. Synthetic and artificial will be anathema. The root of the trans insanity, in my opinion, come from the digital age. There was a time when socially awkward men were called nerds. Over the past 50 years, however, some of them have become fabulously rich thanks to their mastery of digital realm. But underneath their wealth, they're still the societal awkward 14-year-old who struggles to fit in. Finding the real world disagreeable, they retreat into the digital. There they are truly masters of the universe. Everything is under their control. So we have socially awkward men flush with unbelievable amount of wealth seeking to hack reality because they never fit in with actual reality. Hacking sex is just one example of this action. That is
now
fucking brilliant. It is fucking brilliant because it's so fucking true. These people were outcasts, and I don't think it's right. I don't think it's cool. I remember what it was like to be less than. I remember what it was like to be outcast. I remember all those times. I moved schools 3 times. Never felt really cool. It gave me my low self-esteem that I never really improved. In the Army, I had a better house self-esteem because I had a fucking Superman suit on and my little Weeble patches, and I felt really good about myself. But now without it, for the last almost 20 fucking years, I am uncomfortable in the civilian sector. I don't think I've accomplished anything. And I have. But I don't feel that sense of me. But I'm not going to chop my dick off. I'm not going to get fake titties. I'm not going to wear a wig. I'm not going to get de-haired. It isn't going to change what's inside. So you have these people that are awkward, and they go to the digital age, as all these kids are, and they get their revenge. This is just all about treating people like shit because they felt treated like shit. And this newer class isn't like our class where you really were called a freak, beat on, all that stuff. It was digital words or looks. You have aggressed me with your eyes. Crazy shit like that. I mean, everywhere we go, it's here. This is I gotta move my little screen. Sorry. This person, drag queen Shangela, who was invited to the Harris by Kamala. Oh, fuck, let's read. It's English. Drag queen Shangela, who was invited by Kamala Harris to the White House to celebrate Pride Month, was just accused of multiple sexual assaults. Nobody's reporting that. For a break, this is a company, Intuit Company boasts they made progress in improving representation by not hiring white people. That's a slide. Don't hire white people. They're pieces of shit. This. Breaking, a non-binary teen fatally shot her mother and injured her stepfather after getting a hold of a gun. Carly went by the she, they pronoun, according to her IG. Another case of trans terrorism. The modern LGBTQ movement is radicalizing our youth and becoming violent activists. And that is the fact, Jack. Wow, I just found another fucking article. Sorry. I'm going to talk about this in a second, because that's fucking some scary-ass shit right there. I did not know that crap. So we are basically baselining this. Man, we are injecting this shit into children everywhere. I mean, it's nonstop, man. It is all the time. It's YouTube. We've shown it. Set up a child account. They feed you that fucking shit. You're fucking freebasing it, man. Snorting it up your fucking nose. It's fucking crazy. Here's GLAAD. Oh, this is a new bill. You won't be able to have a pride flag at embassies. It's not going to fucking pass. It's not going to. GLAAD has really outdone themselves. This is Gays Against Groomers. This time, an organization whose name literally stands for Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation has now come out and declared the word homosexual to be out fucking dated. Yeah. Yeah, that's nice. That's real nice. What the fuck? What are we supposed to call them now? Homosexual. Same gender loving. SGL. Hey, you're an SGL. Androsexual, androphilic. Gynosexual, genophilic. So it's primary sexual, authentic, or romantic, attracted to masculine. So androsexual likes cocks. Gynosexual likes vaginas. Okay, that makes sense. I can go with that. Not. I mean, what's next? What the fuck is next for you people, man? You really, really, you just fucking hurt me. You hurt my spleen. You really hurt me. Half the time I don't even know what the fuck to say anymore. It just doesn't stop. PolitiFact warns properly defining gender may lead to discrimination because they're trying to fight the argument made by everybody on the planet that what's a woman? You won't even say that because if you say it, it just destroys your intersectionality. Destroys everything. It fucks you up. Here's another short video. Well, I don't know what the fuck I just did.
Once a month, trans women will experience what is known as a period. Some astute viewers might notice that most trans women don't have a uterus, let alone an ovaries or anything along the lines of that. But that doesn't change the fact that they are experiencing a period. There is one of three things at work here, and two of them are the same.
We're going to rewind that for a second.
That most trans women don't have a uterus. Let
a period is when the blood of the lining of the cervix or uterus gets shed because she didn't get pregnant. And it flows out. So does the egg. Because the egg goes down, gets implanted, waits for semen, baby gets started. When she doesn't, it flows out. You gotta have a uterus, gotta have fallopian tubes, you can't have a balls and a stick. It just doesn't work. This isn't baseball. This is not baseball. It's basketball. It's gotta flow through. There's no sticks, there's no balls. Let him continue, because this
alone and ovaries are anything alone.
He doesn't look like a woman or talk like
along the lines of that. But that doesn't change the fact that they are experiencing a period. There is one of three things at work here, and two of them are the same. The main one is they're experiencing PMS. Now, people who experience PMS are anyone with a hormone cycle similar to a woman's. This includes trans women, cis women, and intersex people, or they're experiencing postmenstrual dysphoric disorder. Men can actually even experience what is similar to a period because of their hormone cycle. If a man has a high amount of estrogen in their body, they will have irritable male syndrome, I believe is what the name is called. What a fun name. Right now, my body doesn't have a uterus in it, but my body still thinks I do. It's called a period because that's what it's colloquially known as. Linguistically, we're not going to sit there and be like, I'm PMSing every single time. We're just going to say, I'm on my period. When you're feeling under the weather, you might say, I have the flu. You probably don't have influenza. I know conservatives hate this.
The flu and the period. A flu, a disease that everybody can catch. Pigs get it. Dogs get it. Everybody gets the fucking flu. And a period are in the same article. Or same argument. That's his logic. I want to back it up again. Let's just back it up again. I just want to make sure we learn this. This is important. These fucking psychos are training us. Because if not, this guy who believes he has a period because he thinks he has a period and demands that you say he has a period because uteruses and ovaries, none of that shit fucking matters, is more important than you. He knows more. He knows things. Listen.
The flu. You probably don't have influenza. I know conservatives hate this, but it's not pedantic to say I'm on my period. It's not wrong to say that either.
Probably just experiencing a full moon as a mentally ill person. Do they remove most of the brain as well as the balls during a gender reassignment? I listened to the video and still only women can menstruate. If they have to say anything, they could just say they are PMSing instead of on their period. I love period mansplaining. A doctor. PMS or PMDD is not something to try for. Biological women who have it, try not to have it. It's a hormone imbalance and not okay. Simple fact is you cannot stop the hormones and be fine. We cannot. Also, PMS does not equal a period. They're not the same thing. But of course, they don't have to be. I filled out a bracket based on whether the abortions are located in a state that protects access to abortion care. By this measurement, it's only fair that Minnesota didn't make the tournament because they have been a favorite for years. Lieutenant Governor makes abortion Peggy Flanagan. I'm not going to do it. I don't know if it's a dude or a chick. I can't tell. Another Minnesota, trans Minnesota state rep, Leah Finke, says he wants to use tax money to make Minnesota a trans refugee for kids and train more children doctors on sex change surgery and puberty blockers. Rejecting the use of Latinx is transphobic. And cis is a heterosexual slur. But they say in the article it's not. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we're a fucking mess. We're just a fucking mess. I don't even know how to deal with some of this. Sometimes I literally stare at the computer. I don't fucking say anything because I can't fucking believe I'm watching this shit.
I mean, once a month, trans women will experience what is not.
It's just insane the things I read that they believe. And then we had this week, and I know it's mean to punish you with this, but I'm playing it. This person is a music star now, so saith the media. I don't know if this song did any good. I love how he distilled down womanhood to this. And what are the fucking pills they take? Because I only knew my wife took a pill every fucking day. It was called birth control. And now she takes a hormone once a day. But I don't know about Tuesday. I think what he meant is our testosterone once. That's acceptable now. That is a good person. You're a garbage person. That person gets free shit from the world. You don't even get fucking coupons. This game is a big one. I'm not going to edit down. I'm just going to jump to the parts. Yeah, she's mossing this, all right. Yeah. Woke of the week. These are good ones.
White women use this opportunity of Dylan just having a bad song to just be transphobic.
See, this is how trans women just see being a woman.
You guys think you are going to get some, like, video essay in a 3-minute song from Dylan, the bubbly trans girl, who you all, like, bully the f*** out of whenever you get a chance to? Jesus Christ, leave her alone. Like, leave trans women alone.
Yeah, I'm not going to leave trans women alone because you guys are setting what is happening for the world right now. Here's another one.
As a trans person, I need you all to understand that Dylan Mulvaney seems like so far removed from the reality of being a woman, not because...
So there's 11, those levels of womanhood and... trans?
She's trans, but because she's rich and white. That's why what womanhood is to her
which
is so
rich and
unrelatable
white.
To you.
Yeah. There's this guy.
Meow, meow.
Oh, Jesus Christ. What the fuck is that? What the fuck is that? That's anorexia, man. Wow, fuck me.
For over 10 years.
What is that?
I'm a gender fluid.
Okay, there it is. Gender fluid, okay.
Trans woman. And I am a Christian who is...
I am gender fluid trans woman. That's... I'm checking all the blocks so I can be cool. You... What the fuck? You're either trans woman or you're... or gay.
Studied Hinduism for over 10 years. And is now currently studying and practicing Islam.
Did you hear that? Christian, Hindu, fucking... Where is the one? We're not going to watch the black lady. She just says everybody's fucking racist. This fucking thing. Okay, I'm not mean. I don't want to fucking be mean. But when you guys tell me that you're born this way, and one day you just all of a sudden realize, I don't want to be whatever sex I am because I want some fucking attention, which is 80% of our youth women right now who are becoming trans. 80% of the people becoming trans are women because they're young girls, and that's awkward as fuck. Had one. I had a sister. I watched it. It was way worse than boys. I just had some stank and some freaking... I had stank, zits, And all of a sudden, I figured out how to masturbate. That's all that happened in puberty compared to a girl. That was nothing compared to what a girl has to go through. So much shit. But now that doesn't matter. None of that fucking shit matters because we're going to be told by these fucking people what a goddamn woman is.
Why, hello, friends of Disneyland. This is...
See, this is the shit right here. I'm gonna zoom up so you can just... If you're looking... That right there. Those are tattoos. So as I went on my diatribe there and forgot to close the loop, it's a mental illness. Right now, we have a group of people in this country who are really, really sad and unhappy, and they're looking for happy, and they're zigging when they should zag. They should be told, you're not less than, you're more than, and stop hating yourself. But instead, what they're getting is, you need to chop your dick off.
Stephanie, today, can you guess who I am? I am Pippi Longstocking. I'm rather great pumpkin today. It's so fun to dress as a storybook character. It makes everyone happy, and I always have such a good time.
What the actual fuck was that? All right, to our story that I ran on. This is a girl from Nickelodeon.
Yes, please. Thank you. Hi, everyone. So Eat Predators is here at Sickelodeon hosting Slime Time Live. Woo! All right. So do you want to go down the thing in there? So we believe that silence is violence. So we want to know how many NDAs at Nickelodeon, from employees to the cast,
oh, God
et cetera.
Yeah.
Is Nick a predator? This is just a random question because we're hearing a lot of weird things are happening at Nickelodeon, and so it's all kind of pointing to this question. Is Nick itself a predator?
Okay. On August 25th, 2022, Nickelodeon Zoe 101 actress Alexa Nikolas stood in front of Nickelodeon headquarters in Burbank to expose Nickelodeon on claims of pedophilia. In this video, she, Dan Schneider, who is also the man who was behind all the foot fetish content on Nickelodeon in the 90s and early 2000s, along with sexual abuse allegations connected to a multitude of young stars. Britney Spears' sister, Jamie Lynn Spears, was the star of the show, and she left due to pregnancy, but also had allegations of abuse to Dan Schneider. In addition to Schneider, Nicholas named Ezell Channel, the production assistant for Adam Sandler's Eight Crazy Lights, who was convicted of molestation at Nickelodeon, Brian Peck, the dialogue coach for All That and Comedy Boot Camp, who was convicted of molesting children on the set. Marty Weiss, Nickelodeon's child talent manager, was convicted raping a child on set. John Handy, production assistant for The Amanda Show, who was convicted pedophile. And John Kerchuk-something, creator of The Ren and Stimpy Show, was accused of sexually abusing teenagers. TMZ and the media reported on their one-minute interviews with her, but never showed this footage. They also claimed she was there to protest a hostile work environment, yet another example of how they control the narrative when we didn't have X and Rumble. Alexa continues to expose 8 more people at Nickelodeon. As of today, there's still the longest and most detailed allegations against Nick and pedophilia. They then worked at Disney. That's fucked up. I didn't even know about that. That's fucked up. That's like really fucked up. So, that's our woke. We're going to go into our This Is America. And I could probably play this every fucking week. Since the election, I could have been doing this every week. Because there's just, every time you turn around, there's more and more detailed proof that the 2024 election had some bullshit. Now, was Biden going to win? Yeah, Biden was going to win. But that 81 million? Oh, no. No, no, no. So this is now a article. Let me find it. Chicago announces the existence of additional 10K mail-in ballots that were mistakenly not mentioned until now. Many, if not most, of the ballots from the drop boxes, meaning postmarks, are not required. This will have a major implication. Just 4,000 total votes. separate the two candidates in the attorney general race. O'Neill Burke, tough on crime, initially had a significant lead, but ballots keep trickling in for Clayton Harris. Keeps getting closer. Everybody's saying this is a test run for no. This is America. Don't catch you slipping now. Don't catch you slipping now. Look what I'm whipping now. This is America. Don't catch you slipping now. Don't catch you slipping now. Look what I'm whipping now.
This is America.
The race for state attorney getting tighter. Eileen O'Neill Burke now leads Clayton Harris by less than 5,000 votes.
This isn't a very immediate process, but it is a thorough process that's happening right now.
The Chicago Board of Elections overseeing the city ballot count today admitting to a counting and communications error, announcing it's adding some 10,000 vote-by-mail ballots to the unofficial total. They arrived before Election Day, but were not included until now. The director of public information apologizing, saying he missed them. I traded speed for accuracy in reporting out numbers this week as quickly as I could. I truly regret this error on my part and for the confusion that it has caused the voters of Chicago. Meantime, the race remains too close to call.
That's just fucked up, man. It's fucked up. It's totally fucked up. I mean, the two things that needs to happen if you're a non-Democrat and you want change in the country, you got to early vote, but you got to make sure it's all locked in because they're going to fuck your shit up. And so white people keep saying don't vote by mail. You're going to have to, but you don't have to do it to a drop box. You can carry that fucking shit right down to the actual place and drop it off. But I plan, I vote every 4 years. You got to buy a ticket to take the fucking ride. And I always just go and vote early. So I know it went in. And I know it's still concerning to everybody. These last two elections have, if you're a lefty, 2016 made you go, yeah, that's fucking bullshit. And if you're a righty, last election was fucked up. And that shit, I was awake. I watched it. That don't make no sense. When you watch just a presidential candidate get 100K at 2:30 in the morning, when we're not counting, that's fucking fishy as shit and suitcases and dump stuff and ditches. I mean, there's so much crap. Because remember, Democrats are always going to win by 8, 10, 20 million, and it never comes close because California and Oregon. But electorally, it's 10, 20,000 votes that's just split between these people and these states because they're normal states. You have actually diverse communities. See, the left always talks about we are in the most diverse community and our city is diverse. No, you're not. You're a bunch of African Americans, Latinx, far left liberals. You all vote one way, blue. The counts are like 80 to 20. Nobody right lives there because you've ruined everything. Your tax basis is fucking horrible. If you make any money, you don't want to live there. It's a fucking mess. It's a gigantic fucking mess. So, got some lighter fare, freedom tunes about Dylan Mulvaney, and vets reacting to knockouts at USC from, or UFC, excuse me, from Black Rifle Co.
All over the toilet seat to give my girlfriend something to clean, while giving unsolicited dieting advice to plus-sized women on social media. Then I knock the muffler off my car to make it as loud as possible, so more women will be attracted to me, in case I need to cheat on my girlfriend, because she's getting too confident.
That's what this chick thinks being a man is?
Base, dude, this guy's awesome.
Day 17 of boyhood. I've been wearing the same underwear since I transitioned, and today I got LASIK to make myself colorblind so I can do a better job dressing like a complete moron. I also carried socks around with me so I could drop them on the floor everywhere I went without any consideration for who has to pick them up.
For real?
You gotta see this guy. He's sick, bro.
Day 29 of boyhood. I'm going to couples therapy to learn about my girlfriend's needs so I can more consciously ignore them.
Yo, what? This guy's awesome.
Are you kidding me? This is clearly just a woman who hates men degrading you guys.
Why are you calling this brave and based king a woman?
You know what? Fine, be my guest. Act like this guy. See where it gets you.
Day 50 of boyhood. I had a child with my girlfriend and then left her. Then I went on a Red Pill podcast to publicly embarrass a bunch of 19-year-old girls. I also have to pick my new friend, Terminally Online Political Philosophy, this week. I'm thinking anarcho-simp codfish. Day 87 of boyhood. I relieved myself in public. It was near a park, and I got arrested. Ugh, transphobia. When will they stop hassling us over where we go to the bathroom? Day 89 of Boyhood. I have a court date, but I'm not too worried. Male privilege should bail me out of this. Day 1 of 18 months.
See? I told you that girl wasn't cool. Have you learned your lesson about emulating her?
I guess you're right. Maybe I shouldn't have gotten swept up by a cross-dresser playing to the most base insulting stereotypes.
Shush, the new Dylan Mulvaney video's up!
Day 658 of girlhood. Today I'm shoving a tampon in every orifice.
I scrubbed the UFC. We'll play it next time. I didn't check the time. We're at 1 minute, 1 hour and 50 minutes, which is a long podcast. So this wraps up another episode of Flavor Politic Podcast. Share with your family and friends. Go to FlavorPoliticK at SoundCloud. Gmail me, foppodcast@gmail.com, foppodcast@gmail.com. You can see the video at Rumble 482467. The other show will be doing one in a couple days, 553-2123. Our next Flyover Politic Podcast will be Saturday or Sunday, probably Saturday, because Sunday I got a bunch of shit to do because I'm going on vacay for the 37th anniversary. Disconnect from all your devices. Don't give the yeah yeahs, and y'all take care out there. Thanks for listening.